Rotten Bears fans, another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. Pat the Designer, Jason McKee, as always on a Wednesday. We got to talk about some upgrades that PFF believes the Chicago Bears need to make. And I hate to tell you this, J-Mac, but I'm right there with them. Unfortunately, this running back room has not done enough, and they are talking about this could be the biggest roster decision for the Chicago Bears heading into 2025. It makes it even more intriguing when we know Ben Johnson has gotten rid of our lead back, who makes $8 million once already. So we'll talk about that, and also got to talk about Ian Cunningham. Again, the possibility of him leaving is on the table. He'll be interviewing for Jacksonville this coming Friday. Remember, Duval. I don't think he should go down there. That was one of the most creepy things I've ever seen. All that and more on today's episode of the Chicago Bears podcast. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. Does your skin crawl every time Leon Cohen says anything, bro?
Like when you said cool, it, bro. It's just like, for now, when people say Duval, they're gonna have like, he's ruined it. You know what I mean? Because like being a Florida boy, like, you know, Duval, you got to say it with some emphasis. Like, like, I'm surprised they didn't run him up out of the press conference after he did it. Cause it was like borderline. He thought it was cool, but it was like borderline disrespectful. It's like, is something wrong with this guy? Security, get him up out of here.
He loses the job.
Security, get him up out of here. You know,
he ain't signed the paperwork yet. We'll find somebody.
The ink ain't dry. Get him up out of here. You know,
dog. I was crying like, because what's worse is, right, then they like coached him up on it,
bro.
And so like, there's a second time where he's like, "Oh well, give us a good Duval." He's like, "Duval." I'm like, "Nah, bro, that ain't it, bro. Like, you gotta stop. Bro, you have to be stopped. You can never say it again."
His first team meeting. I wonder how that went. Like when he actually address the team, you know what I mean, and a team meeting setting. Like, I mean, you know, you got some guys. There's always some jokesters on the team, and I know our guys. He wouldn't have been able to make it because there is not just one person, but there would have been about 5 or 6 people on our team in our meeting room that we would have yelled out Duval the way he did, or they would have cracked the joke and be like, "Man, this is who we going to war with." Like, there would have been. It would have been no holds barred, bro. So I just wonder how I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall in that team meeting to see how that went. You know, that went over.
Peanut would have absolutely eviscerated. Oh my god, Peanut would have had a field day with that one, man. We have to get Peanut back on and get his perspective on some of that, because he's hilarious. You know, I went back and watched our Peanut pod. I forgot his video was froze the entire time.
Yeah,
I died laughing through that whole podcast, bro. This was nuts.
Yeah,
let's talk a little bit of running back talk. Mm-hmm. J-Mac, is perfect to have somebody who's been a part of one of the best running back rooms in Chicago Bears history in here. When you talk about upgrading the running back room. Me and you talked a lot about DeAndre Swift last year, and you know, you came in those couple weeks where he was good, and you know, he beat your chest a little bit on him. Hey, you see how he's out here balling right now. We all in on Swift. We all Swifties. No, we not. Because realistically speaking, the production just didn't live up to it last season. What PFF said, they said countless NFL teams would be envious of the Bears this offseason, given the great state of their roster and $62 million in free agency. However, one position that might not be a simple fix in Ben Johnson's first year is the running back position. The reason for this is DeAndre Swift still makes a lot of money. He invested $24 million in DeAndre Swift last offseason, and the move didn't pay immediate dividends. Swift generated a 65.7 PFF rush grade and 18 explosive runs in his first season in Chicago. That's not good for those who are fluent in PFF.
Yeah.
You got 18 explosive, or football in general, you got 18 explosive runs in a season, especially for a speed back, a guy who has that breakaway speed.
Yeah.
It's not what you want to see. And they also pinpoint the fact that the running back market right now is not great. Now, the draft in day 2 and day 3 could be very interesting, but do you feel like the running back room is something that needs a massive upgrade from last year? Or, as many people have said, is the problem simply the fact that the offensive line was bad, and it goes to the same conversation as Caleb Williams?
Yeah, it's hand in hand. Like, you can never, when you're evaluating an offense, right? And right now, you know, Ben Johnson and the staff and the guys he's bringing in, especially on the offensive side of the ball, you know, they're deep in reevaluation mode, right? So what they're doing now is They're taking the tape, right? They're breaking down every situation, every scenario. So we're talking about the run game. So now they're breaking down the runs, runs on first down, second down runs, sure guarded runs, goal line runs. You know, if do they have any fourth down runs, outside zone, inside zone, gap runs, which are, you know, power, duo, counter, you know, how effective were we with each style of run that we ran last year? And what were those problems? Was it mainly the offensive line, or was it the running back, you know, an outside zone, not pressing his aiming point or making the right read? And that can go for all these different type of runs, run variations that we have. So, and then looking at it and say, okay, where can we get better? And where do we need to get better? Obviously, we know that they need to get better up front. So that had a lot to do with it. But it was also, you know, the running backs as well. When you look at Swift and Roshan, you know, they didn't have like the highlight year. And when you and when you're seeing a lot of backs that, that came over in free agency that did have a great year, prime example, Saquon, who's a Super Bowl champion now with the Philadelphia Eagles, you say, wow, like it really paid off. But when you look at that line compared to our line, it's a lot different. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's both of those groups, a running back group, didn't live up to expectations, neither did the line. So with that being said, I think, you know, having the 10th overall pick, and we look at where the Bears sit in terms of, you know, you talked about the money and where they sit in the draft, and how deep and loaded this running back class is, they're going to bring in, every year they bring in a back anyway, right? They're going to draft the back. They're going to bring in a couple backs in free agency as well. So I think when we look at a complete overhaul, the room's going to look different anyway, because now you got a new running back coach in Eric Bieniemy, a guy who's played the position, a guy who's been successful in college, and a guy that knows how to develop running backs. And I'm not saying that that Chad Morton, the running back coach from last year, he didn't do that, because he's a guy that's played the position. And I thought he was a really good coach for the Bears. I just think there was a lot of limitations in terms of scheme and then personnel that really had a real emphasis on the productivity from your main back in DeAndre Swift. So, you know, I know Ben Johnson, you know, he wasn't, you know, they replaced him when he was up there in Detroit. And I don't know if Ben's going to do that this year. I think that, you know, the scheme is going
to dictate. It's a lot harder to do it now when he makes $8 million.
That's what I'm saying. So I think the scheme is going to really, the type of run scheme that they want to implement is going to really dictate who they target in the draft and who they bring in free agency. So I think, you know, Ben Johnson and the online coach would be, you know, knee deep in trying to figure out what type of back they want. And they have options to do it just because of how rich this running back class is, in my opinion.
Let me ask you this, right? And kind of just throw, I guess we watch the tape every week, right? Mm-hmm. And unless it was just a massive, some of those massive blowouts, it was like, I can't, this is too tough to watch. But we watch the tape every week, and we would always come in here and talk about, you know, some of the limitations on the run game. When you look at DeAndre Swift's game, something we talked about all season was the vision. Mm-hmm. How would you grade DeAndre Swift's vision in, because yes, I do think there's a limitation in the blocking scheme that was out there. I thought that he was utilized some ways improperly for his skill set. But I feel like there were more times than not where me and you came in here and we were like, he's not seeing what he needs to see.
Yeah. I think so. When I look at DeAndre Swift, I think he's more of a zone runner, right? A zone scheme running back. So outside zone, inside zone, right? Where you can use his speed, right? Where you want to get the defense moving laterally. And you want to get your offensive line moving and running laterally so they can get on the edge of defenders. And for back, right? Especially outside zone. And there's usually outside zone, there's three reads, right? So first off, you start off with the back as your aiming point. So outside zone towards the tight end, you know, a lot of running backs will say, okay, my aiming point is the outside leg of the tight end. Some running back coaches say it's the butt of the tight end, you know what I mean? Or if there's no tight end there, they'll say the ghost tight end, where the tight end would be, right? And that's if you're in the I formation or if you're in a pistol formation. Now, pistol, you know, obviously you're right behind the quarterback. Right. So now if you're offset, right, and usually if you're going to run outside zone and you're offset, the back's going to be set away from the direction you're running outside zone. So if you're offset, that aiming point is condensed a little bit. So now you would say, okay, now your aiming point, instead of being outside leg of the tight end, you're displaced another gap over anyway. So now your aiming point would be condensed. It would be the outside leg of that tackle. You know what I mean? Or it can be the butt of the tackle, depending on how you, where you want your running backs, you know, their aiming points. That's how it normally starts off. So every offensive coordinator is different. Every running back coach is different in terms of your first initial aiming point. Now, your three reads is, first off, outside zone, the back has to be able to press the ball into the heels of the offensive line. So that means they're running a track that we call it. So if my track, I start off with my aiming point, outside leg of the tight end. Now I'm running my track and I'm staying on my track unless something takes me off of it, right? So if I'm running my track and that tight end logs that defensive end who may be, you know, lined up head up on that tight end, well, then I'm going to stay on my track because nothing's taking me off of it. So then my read would be outside, right? So we call that a press because I'm pressing the ball into the heels of my offensive line and I'm bouncing it, which means I'm staying outside. So we call that in our system a press bounce read. Now there's a press bang read if that defensive end is in a wide nine, which means he's wide or he's outside shaded at tight end. Pre-snap read for the running back is telling me now I know I'm not going to get outside of that defensive end, right? I know my tight end can't log that defensive end based off alignment. That DN's lined up outside. So what happens is I know he's probably going to stretch and kick out that defensive end. So now I know this is going to be a press bang read, which means I'm still pressing my aiming point, the outside leg of the tight end, and now I'm going to stick my foot in the ground as I get close to the line of scrimmage, and I'm going to bang that ball north and south upfield. So I'm going to press and stretch to get movement by the defense and the linebackers, right, to create flow. Then I'm going to stick my foot in the ground to get north and south. So that's a press bang read. Now, a press bounce read is pretty much a cutback, what we saw DeAndre Swift do a lot of, right?
Yeah.
And the thing is, with him is, for backs, it's weird because, you know, we can say he's just not reading it, but at the same time, he's not trusting his line as well. So he's automatically predetermining a cutback because, hey, he's like, you know what? I know that the guard and tackle, if they're working together, they're not going to get to their line. They're not going to combo that defensive lineman or that tackle to the linebacker. Not going to get there. There's going to be penetration. So I'm already going to try to have a predetermined cutback. So a press bounce is you're going to press the ball to your aiming point, outside leg of the tight end, press it into the heels of the offensive line, try to create flow, right? You'll bang that ball north and south, and then you'll bounce it. So a press bounce is really a press bang that turns into a press bend, which is you're cutting it back.
So, because I do agree with you, right? Essentially, you're saying DeAndre Swift got to a point where he was probably seeing ghosts out there.
Well, I think a lot of times he was, I think some runs when he had successful runs, he was true to his read, right? He would run his track. There would be a clear picture, and he would either bounce that ball, if the tight end was able to log that DN or the end man or whoever they were reading, right? He would press bang. If we got a kick out, he'd go north and south, right? And then he would press bend if he was able to press that ball. We got a lot of flow and he was able to cut it back. Then you saw the press bend right there, right? We saw some of those plays, right? We saw some of those explosive runs, but we also saw, you know, running back at times predetermining a cutback, right? Getting that ball and not even being on his track. We've seen him already turning back. You know what I'm saying? Not pressing the ball into the line of scrimmage to create flow. We saw him getting the ball, trying to cut it back immediately and getting tackled at the line of scrimmage or for a loss. You know what I mean?
So as a coach, right, if you're the head coach of the team, is that a concern for you coming into this season that he's predetermining, I can give him this perfect offensive line. I can get and essentially, right, we kind of saw similar numbers with Philly. Yes, he broke 1,000 yards. When you start to break it down game by game, a couple of big games, more games where it's 40, 50 yards and stuff like that, and you chip your way to the 1,000. As a coach, are you concerned by the fact that it seems like even with a great offensive line, he's kind of predetermining these reads?
Yeah, I think, you know, at times, I look at it and say, okay, what was the problem, right? What is the problem? Okay, he's not staying on his track, right? He's not pressing the ball into the line of scrimmage, right? He's not making the right read. So you've got to look at it and say, okay, how many times do we see a misread? How many times did we see DeAndre Swift not run his track? You know what I mean? In his own scheme, right? Now, if we go to a gap scheme, was he better at gap runs or was he better at zone runs? Because if he's better at gap runs and Coach Johnson is true to his word, right, in terms of breaking this offense down, right, to the studs and then rebuilding it based upon the talent, the personnel that he has. Well, if I've got backs that showed on film through our evaluation that I talked about earlier, that shows that they were better running backs running more of gap scheme design runs, well, then, hey, we've got to be more of a heavy gap scheme team. Yes, we'll still sprinkle in outside and inside zone and some zone things, but you know, I know we're going to be more gap scheme oriented because my backs are more gap scheme runners. And with the backs that we have right now, I don't really see DeAndre Swift. I don't really see, I think Roshon Johnson's more of a gap scheme runner than DeAndre Swift because he's more of a thumper. He's more physical. But when I look at DeAndre Swift, I just see a zone scheme runner. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then you've got to look at what backs are available in the draft and then base that upon what type of running game and running scheme that you're going to major in this year. And I think that'll determine what type of back they may target, you know, whether it's early, whether it's in the later rounds, but also, you know, after the draft and in free agency in terms of undrafted free agents, or whether or not they'll go out there and try to find a veteran that may be available on the free agent market and say, this is a guy that's going to fit our run scheme because we're going to be a mainly an outside zone scheme running team. And this guy really knows how to run it because he knows how to run his track. He knows how to, you know, he knows how to run the ball in this outside zone scheme exactly the way we want it done.
Yeah, I mean, I remember us sitting there in training camp and even in some of the preseason games, and you know, there is a guy on this roster who he kind of fit both decently. Limited time we saw him, but Ian Wheeler was somebody who was kept around. I thought he did well in gap scheme. I thought he did well in outside zone. I think he's a little bit better in outside zone because of the speed, but
definitely,
like, to me, the concern right now is that, right, are you going to just let an $8 million running back sit on the sideline? I don't see very many coaches do that. You have this concern of Ben Johnson coming in and having already had a history with Swift, seeing him his rookie year and going, or not his rookie year, was it third year there, and going, we can move on from this guy. We're very okay moving on from DeAndre Swift here in Detroit and going out and getting another running back in the draft.
Yeah.
You do wonder, is that going to be the case again here? And I guess you kind of have to look back at the year before, right, and say, okay, was it Swift not seeing things, or was it he not being utilized by Shane Waldron? Because I think that's an argument that a lot of people make as well. Well, you know, he's more of a he can impact the game pass catching. We've seen that.
Right.
Did Shane Waldron use him improperly last season versus he just can't play football?
Yeah, and I mean, let's look at Ben Johnson's off or the backs that he had in Detroit. Right. And I don't want to, we'll talk scheme, but I don't really want to talk scheme just because of the fact that he said it's going to look different. Okay.
It's a whole new playbook. He's building this around Caleb Williams. So, he's not running everything exactly how it was in Detroit.
So when I look at the utilization of Dave Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs up there, right, let's look at it from that standpoint. When I see Jahmyr Gibbs, and I'm not saying DeAndre Swift is Jahmyr Gibbs, but I'm saying the way you do utilize him, when the Bears utilize DeAndre Swift, right, more so when they utilize him in a passing game, got him involved in screens, right, and then you sprinkle in some outside zone and you got him involved in some gap scheme runs, he had big days, right? We were talking about him having big days, right, in terms of, you know, generating a lot of offensive yards because the utilization was different, right? He's not a guy that you're going to hand the ball off 10 times and have him run between the tackles, right? He's not that type of back. He can do a variety of things, right? So when I look at this offense, right, and we know Ben Johnson had two great backs there, look at Dave Montgomery. Dave Montgomery was the thumper. He was the bell cow, right? He was the guy mostly running gap schemes, right? Dave Montgomery comes in, you know, they're running power, they're running duo, they're running counter. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? He's the thumper. He's the chain mover. So right now when you look at it, you would think that, okay, based upon the roster that we have right now, and you would say, okay, DeAndre Swift, we're going to utilize him in the way that we utilize Jahmyr Gibbs, and we're going to utilize Roshon Johnson the way that Dave Montgomery was utilized. But are you comfortable with Roshon Johnson, a guy that's been in and out of the lineup all year? Even his rookie year, he was in and out of the lineup. Last year, he was in and out of the lineup. Can he take that pounding? You know, can he hold up? And when I think you look at the draft, you have some backs that can be not saying they can be Dave Montgomery, but they have shown success running the ball in between the tackles, right? We look at Ashton Jeansey. Look at Amara and Hampton, who's, I think, 220 pounds, the running back out of North Carolina. You look at Cam Scatterbill. You know what I mean? Look at Caleb Johnson down there at Iowa. All these guys are complete backs. Like, they're really good backs. They have speed. Yeah. They have power. They're young, that you can come in. And not just saying that, you know, if you go out there and you draft an Ashton Jeansey at number 10, that he's just going to be the thumper. No, he's going to be expected to be effective in the screen game and the pass game as well, things that he can do. Same thing with Caleb Johnson from Iowa, and the same thing with Amari Hampton from UNC. They're going to be guys that's going to have to be playmakers, and I think they can be, but I think it depends on what Ben Johnson wants. He's used to having success with a two-back system where he can bring guys in based upon situations and based upon what type of matchup he wants to create. And I think right now you have to say, look at the landscape of this Bears running back room. Do you have two backs that you feel like you can confidently lean on and that can win you games? And I would say right now it's an unknown just because of the lack of productivity we saw from DeAndre Swift on a consistent basis last year. But also, are you going to hang your hat on a Roschon Johnson who's shown that health has been a major concern throughout his first 2 years being in the NFL?
Yeah, and that's the concern, right? Like there needs to be a clear-cut upgrade here. Omarion Hampton, I think if you look at him in the draft now, still may go a little. I mean, he's probably still a first-round pick, which I think.
I love Omarion Hampton.
You're not going to. Bro, listen.
Height, weight, speed. I mean, the combination is great.
Maybe in Chicago, it sounds a little blasphemous, but when you see him,
yeah,
does he not remind you a little bit of Forte?
Yeah, he's a big dude. I mean, you know, I would say when you look at the stature, right? Forte, 6 foot, 6'1", you know, 220, 225. Amari Hampton, same thing with speed. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That can run. That can do a lot of things. You can put him out there. You know, he can be effective out in the passing game. You know, you can run between the tackles. You can run zone. You can run gap scheme runs. So he's a complete back. Ashton Dency, the thing that I would look at with him is how much did he actually catch the ball, you know, out there at Boise State? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's one thing.
I mean, what is it? Like, it's like 80 receiving yards or something like that? Like, the offense literally was turn around and hand the ball. It reminded me of Saban was just talking about, like, Derrick Henry didn't know how to do anything when he got to Alabama. And he was like, what? How did you mess this up? He's like, Coach, our whole offense was turn around, hand the football off to me.
Yeah, when he was
I don't know nothing else about
him. Him in high school, it was Derrick Henry right, Derrick Henry left, Derrick Henry up the middle. You know what I'm saying? But Ashton Dency, I mean, when he was at Boise State, you look at it, it was majority of the runs that he ran was heavy gap scheme. Yeah. You know, it was power, it was counter, it was dual, it's come off the ball. We got the offensive line that's going to displace the line of scrimmage. They're going to come off the ball and kick some ass, and we got a running back that's going to get downhill. He's going to get his shoulders north and south, and he's going to just if the play's blocked for four, he's going to get 10 because he's that type of running back. You know what I mean? So it all depends on, you know, what this run game is going to look like. I think will determine what type of back, obviously, they're going to look at in the draft, free agency, or and even undrafted free agents or guys that they may covet in the later rounds.
Yeah, that's the one where you hope you can find somebody. Because, again, the Gentes, the Omarion Hamptons, they're probably going to be too high. Cam Scattaboo, I think, is a very interesting name for the Bears. But, you know, we'll kind of see where he ends up going. I think he's around the second round. They did have the whole Eddie George situation where it seemed like the Bears are very interested in one of the two Ohio State running backs.
Yeah, like, a bunch of them.
It seems like the Bears are definitely interested in going at the running back position here. I do wonder, the question, though, is how highly do they value that running back? How highly does Ben Johnson value that running back? Because we've seen him go out and draft one in the first round in a year where we were like, don't you need, like, linebackers and DBs and
a lot of other positions?
And then you turn around and look at it and go, oh, Jahmyr Gibbs is a amazing running back who consistently has an impact on a game and is probably one of the best rushers in football right now.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. Like, you know, you look at it, and like I said, the evaluation is taking the evaluation is taking place right now, right? And they're looking at this run game, right? And they're saying, was it based upon the scheme schematically, the way they were trying to do things is the reason why it didn't work? And we feel like we have good enough personnel that we feel like, hey, us improving the scheme, us improving the blocking, you know, the fundamentals and the techniques and the things we're trying to do will just improve the run game on its own with some of the personnel that we have. And they feel like they can get better just because there's better coaching involved in the way they're doing things, but also the time in which they're calling things throughout the game and situationally will play a big part in that too. So it's, you know, I think that's gonna show if they go out there and they say, you know what, bam, the Bears select, boom, running back from whoever at number 10, we're gonna say, oh, dang, they had confidence in the line because, you know, they You would think they would draft an offensive lineman. That's my hope.
Don't even
these offensive linemen.
We don't even want to put that out into the universe.
Right. You see what I mean? It all depends on what their evaluation is in terms of, you know, what they want to do. It also depends on how high they may covet. You know, where do these position groups rank on their board? Is offensive line bona fide the number one thing at number 10, which I think it should be? I think it should be an interior offensive lineman, in my opinion, you know, or an impact, you know, edge rusher or defensive end at that number 10 spot. I think you can go either way there. Or do they feel like that running back, like we're talking about now, is that running back the number one position that they need to help make this offense go and be more consistent, but also to help your second-year quarterback now, Caleb Williams, be successful? I don't know. It just depends on what they feel and the evaluations that they make.
If running back is at the top of your list, you better cook.
Yeah, you better be great. Rest
of the draft.
You better absolutely.
Hey, we hit on both our second round picks. We hit on our third round pick. The possibility of us getting a second, third round pick for Ian Cunningham, we hit on that one too. Like, you better. Oh, my
right.
God.
That's my thing. It's like
you
when I look at.
Miss.
I mean, I was going to go through the list of backs. Like, let's say, okay, Ashton Dempsey will be a first round pick. Amari Hampton,
probably.
Possibly late first round, early second. Caleb Johnson will be. He can make it depending on how the combine goes, sneak in late first, early second. Then you got the Ohio State guys you're talking about. Travion Henderson, Quinshon Judkins,
Judson's the one.
Dylan Sampson from Tennessee. I mean, there's so many backs. Cam Scatterboo, Kalel Mullins from Michigan, the really big running back, physical back.
Caleb Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, it's a ton of guys. Jordan James from Oregon. You know, Todd Brooks from Texas Tech. I mean, the list goes on and on. Like, there's so many backs, and there's so many guys that can come in, and if you don't have to be like the featured guy because you have a DeAndre Swift there, but you've got to be a guy like what do they want this other running back to do? Do they want him to be a chain mover like Dave Montgomery is to Jahmyr Gibbs, you know, Sonic and Knuckles? Is that the type of two backs punch that you're looking at? Because if you're going to draft a back that high and keep DeAndre Swift, I don't need them to do the same thing. Like, they don't have to have similar skill sets. Like, I need one to be able to move the chains, right, to get those tough yards, and then I can use DeAndre Swift in ways that he's shown to be effective this past year.
Yeah, I think the part that I like to imitate teams that have won the Super Bowl. I like the greatness, right? You know that there's a method there. And the thing that I would just really warn you about is you kind of saw what the Eagles did. If you build everything else, then you can go throw $15 million, $18 million at a running back.
100%.
Since 2021, Landon Dickerson in the second round, Milton Williams in the third round.
Mm-hmm.
Where else we got? Teron Jackson in the sixth round, Patrick Johnson in the seventh round. This is Jordan Davis in the first round, Cam Jurgensen in the second round. Nolan Smith is on there. I mean, you look at last year, Jalen Hunt. You look at you drafted Will Shipley in the fourth round.
Yeah.
Like when it came down to it, you were like, oh yeah, throw a running back in there, right? Like you look at Trevor Keegan, you look at like there's so many guys, Jalen Carter in the first round. Like
they prioritize
the trenches. And I think that to me, offensive or defensive, I will be happy with either one. I'm leaning defensive because of I've said this whole week, right, Jamie? I said it's the Super Bowl. I think that defense still wins championships, and I think you saw that.
Yeah.
In the Super Bowl, the couple of years of Pat Mahomes just eviscerating teams, everybody was like, oh, it's an offensive league now. Yeah, it's a more offense, but the two best defenses were in the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah. When I watched the draft this year, and when the Bears are on the clock and the commissioner comes out and he says with the number 10 pick in the first round, the Chicago Bears select. And if that name isn't, like, I'm fine with either one of these names. I'm fine with it. Could be Abdul Carter. It could be Will Campbell. It could be Kelvin Banks. It could be James Pierce. If it's any other name than that, it could be even Mason Graham.
Yeah.
Defensive tackle from Michigan. If it's any other name than that, I'm going to be kind of upset. I'm a running back, and I'm going to be a little upset if it's Ashton Dempsey. I'm not going to lie, even though we're doing this breakdown, because like you said, you see the value of a defense being able to rush four and get pressure. Because now if you can do that, right, the coverage, it don't even matter because we're getting home with four. You saw it with the Eagles. They ran, they majored in zone. They didn't really have to bring pressure. They didn't have to blitz because, hey, you know what? Our front four is kicking your front four's ass and there's nothing you can do about it, right? And we saw defense, our defense this past year, we couldn't get consistent pressure with four. And we saw a defensive secondary that's really good, that's young, that broke down because the rush, we couldn't rush and cover, right? We heard, how many press conferences did we hear that this year? Rush and cover. Well, we ain't rushing, so there's no goddamn cover.
Yeah.
Right? So we're getting the doors blown off of us. You know what I'm saying? And then on the flip side, how many sacks do we have? We talk about this all the time. How many sacks? 68? Is that the number?
68 sacks.
68 sacks. Come on, man.
Which is hilarious because, like, they also, if you want to take the PFF right into account, we always talk about you can't grade the offensive lineman, you don't know the blocking scheme, blah, blah, blah. But if you want to take the PFF into account, right, they credit Caleb Williams for 17 sacks.
Yeah.
A lot of sacks on a quarterback. 17 Definitely. Sacks. You took Definitely. 17 sacks, you put the team in a bad position. That means 51 sacks are still on the offensive line. It's too many. You have to improve it. And my thing is, it all depends on what you do in free agency. It all depends on you know, who you end up signing. I'll be honest with you, after the Super Bowl, if I'm the Kansas City Chiefs and I look at Trent McDuffie, who is a phenomenal player, and I look at Trey Smith, who I think is the only offensive lineman on that line that is worth any amount of money, I'm picking to keep Trey Smith.
Definitely.
McDuffie, I appreciate you playing the work version of our game. We will find somebody else that can cover.
Well, that's what they did. Yeah, they just did it with Snead, right? They did it with Snead the year before.
Yeah.
Right. And then McDuffie came in and stepped up. So, yeah, I think, you know, with the Bears, it's man, like, guys, please, like, let's keep addressing where it all starts. Let's address the heartbeat of the team, right? That's in the trenches, the O&D line. That's the heartbeat, man. That's the heartbeat. You know what I mean? When you look at, you look at Josh Sweat getting pressure consistently, right? Look at Jalen. I mean, every level of that defensive line, there was pressure. You had it on the edges. You had it on the interior. And Patty Mahomes looked back. He looked like Matty Mahomes. He didn't know what was going on. He's back there patting the ball. You know what I mean? He's patting the ball, Pat.
Little Mitchie Mahomes, you said.
Yeah, like, little Louie Mahomes. Hey, Louie. Yeah. Louie Mahomes out here. Moonlight with the ball. Hey, Louie.
He's a cousin.
Yeah, Louie Mahomes. He's patting the ball like Louie. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's back there patting the ball. You pat that ball three times, Sack, in the NFL. Like, you get two pats, and that ball better be gone. But you patted it three times, one, two, you're sacked. It's sacked. And, I mean, how many sacks did Montez Sweat have last year? I think it was 6.5, or was it 5.5, I think?
5.5 sacks, I believe.
And I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago. I think I broke down the amount of sacks that they had as a team, and then I did that in comparison to
5.5 sacks for Montez.
We were talking about Myles Garrett a couple weeks ago, and remember Myles Garrett, I broke down the sacks. I said we had this many, and Myles Garrett had how many he had this year?
16. 14,
16. Yeah. Like, I mean, it's, you know, so if it's not an edge rusher or an impact player on that defensive line or an offensive lineman that can actually, you know, displace defensive linemen in the run game, but also that can withstand a bull rush in pass protection, that actually shows he knows his assignments and he can execute with proper technique, nastiness, and fundamentals, then I'm going to be upset at number 10 if the Bears draft anything other than that. And I'm just being, you know, anything other than that, I'm going to be scratching my head like, well, why do you take Ashton Dente when they've got Amari Hampton, you got Caleb Johnson, you got Quinshon Judkins, you got Trevion Henderson. There's so many other backs in this draft that will be at your disposal later on in the draft. You know,
I would even if you feel that there's guys later on in the draft that you can go after, as far as like in the trenches, I wouldn't even chance it. Like, you look at what Philly's done. Yeah, you take a bunch of guys. Did all of these guys hit that fit? Now, most of these guys did hit. That's why Philly's a Super Bowl championship team. I'm not going to lie. Most of the dudes they drafted hit. But did all of those guys hit? No. Did some of those guys they take a chance on hit? No. Like, did, like, you take those swings at the best and most important position, unless it's just like some transcendent player that you can't turn your back on. Like, I get it in certain situations, but I don't think that guy's in this draft. No. I shouldn't say that. That guy is in this draft. He plays defensive line, and he's Abdul Carter. I think if there's any guy that you need to be looking at, it is Abdul Carter. I've said I would move up. Now, he may end up going one, which is kind of crazy. He Tennessee is like, we want a generational player. That may be Abdul Carter. But yeah. If outside of that, like, if you're not investing in the trenches from this moment forward, because that was 3 years worth of drafts that Philly invested in the trenches, then you're not serious about really trying to build this team up to be a championship contender, because you look at the teams that are there, you look at the teams that are constantly there, and it's usually the teams that have the trenches right, and usually the teams that have the defensive side of the trenches right.
Yeah, right. It's built from the inside out. And, yeah. You know, you look at, you know, you mentioned Philly, you know, going heavy defensive line. You can go back to the 49ers when they were hitting their stride, when they were good, they went exclusively defensive line. They kept drafting defensive linemen in that first round. Look at Detroit when they started hitting their stride. What were they doing? They're drafting offensive linemen
in
that first round, you know. And it's like if I'm looking at the board and I see there's a pass rusher that can come in and make a difference, or there's an offensive lineman that I know that I have a possibility of being able to draft him, he can come in, I can plug him in day one, and he's going to be a 10-plus year starter there. Then, I mean, that's, I mean, I think if you have that conviction that there's a guy on your board and you feel like he's that type of player, I think it's without question, write his name on the card right now and just hold it until draft day. You know what I'm saying?
Like, there you go, Commish. We've had like this dude hired to hold this card for 6 months.
You see in the movie, right? Draft such and such draft day, right? Draft such and such no matter what. You know what I mean? I get it. You can get enamored, right, by Ashton Dent. He had all these times. I mean, I don't want to take nothing away from him. I think he's a great back. You know, I think he's the best back in his draft? I think when it's all said and done, I don't think he'll end up being the best back in his draft, right? You look at the amount of carries he had at Boise State. You know what I'm saying? He was the focal point of an offense. Like, you know what I mean? I just don't know. I think the NFL, I don't think he's gonna have to be able to show that he can affect the game in a different way besides just running in between the tackles. That's just the way this game is played now. So, like I said, I think there's a lot of things that you can do if you want to address the running back position. But I, you know, as a Bears fan, as an analyst, and watching every game up close and personal, and seeing where all the deficiencies were, as we all saw it as Bears fans and analysts, the deficiencies was up front on both sides of the ball. So at number 10, like I said, if it isn't one of those names, if it isn't James Pierce from Tennessee, if it isn't Abdul Carter, if it isn't Mason Graham, right, on the defensive side of things, on the offensive side of things, if it's not Will Campbell, Kelvin Banks, if it's not one of those guys, I'm going to be highly upset at number 10.
Are you okay taking guard in the first round? That's kind of been a conversation here where it's like, yes, it's something that you need, but is that a transcendent player? By the way, just to be fair to Ashton Jeanty, as I thought so, he had 43 receptions the year before, 569 yards, 5 touchdowns for an average of 13.2 yards. So it's not like he can't catch the football.
Yeah, and that's the thing. We don't know. The funny thing is, and I'm sure scouts is going to want to see it, and all these questions will be answered throughout his private workouts, his pro day, and in the combine too, is that was an offense that didn't require him to catch the ball. I'm not saying he can't catch, because there's a lot of backs that didn't necessarily, you know, show hands because that offense didn't call for it. Like, I played with a back, Adrian Peterson, who was in an option offense at Georgia Southern, never even caught passes in college. And I remember in camp, you know, the thing was, can he catch? And AP was awesome. AP could run routes. AP could run routes. He had great hands, but he's like, hey, man, they never asked me to catch in college. Yeah. I was running for 2,000-yard seasons, you know, winning the Walter Payton Award because that's what they asked me to do.
Well, again, that's why, when Nick Saban was talking about, you know, Derrick Henry, he was like, he can't block. He was like, Coach, he didn't know where to go.
They didn't ask him.
Nobody ever asked him to block. Who you go? First off, who tackling Derrick Henry in high school? Clearly, nobody.
But he's the same size, bro. The same size, height, weight, and speed. Damn near, it was unbelievable. And then he went to a high school that was a lower level high school in terms of not lower level, but, you know, in terms of division. So high school size, he was playing against, you know, I mean, he was the biggest guy on the field.
Yeah, he's playing against schools that are, you know, 600 kids, 500 kids, stuff like that. And you know, probably most of them playing basketball all year round.
Yeah.
Dog, it is, It is interesting, I think, coming into this draft to kind of see some of the where people's minds are going now and how enamored you quickly can be when you see a guy like an Ashton Jeanty, because I get why people want him. I think that he is a great running back. I think the problem is you have to be patient to go get an Ashton Jeanty. I want an Ashton Jeanty, but the reality of things there are that Ashton Jeanty's pop up again a lot quicker than premier edge rushers do.
Yeah.
A lot quicker than elite interior offensive linemen do.
Correct.
It's now he is a special back. He has been a special college back. I don't know if that'll translate to the pros, but he's been a special college football running back. But I do see a lot of those guys that we talk about as special flaming out a lot quicker because, right, who was the last? I mean, Saquon, of course, was special, but you look at a guy like Gurley, what he was able to do in college, how quickly it ended for him in the pros because he just couldn't stay healthy. You look at a guy like Zeke Elliott. Zeke Elliott was amazing. He was one of the greatest things we'd seen in Ohio State. And with 6 years?
Yeah, I think
he got beat up so much.
When you look at it, right, and look at this, right? Let's when you look at when you actually break down who had the bigger impact in the Super Bowl. Was it Saquon Barkley? Was it Eagles? Or was it that Eagles defensive line?
Oh, the defensive line, completely.
There you go. You see what I'm saying? There
you go.
So when you look at it, the teams that can consistently show the ability to get to the quarterback consistently without having to bring second level pressure in terms of a linebacker or a third level pressure in terms of a safety or bringing a corner or something like that, those are the teams that more so than not are the teams that are, you know, have the better defenses, the teams that are in the playoffs, right? And we look at this Eagles team, the way that they just dismantled this Chiefs offense, right, that has a generational talent at quarterback, right, because they were able to get pressure consistently with just their front four, right? And then so I look at it like that. I think that shows you how important, you know, a defensive line is, or having a defensive line rotation at that, more so than the impact of a running back. And I'm not saying, like, when we look at Saquon, right, and everybody's looking at the impact that he had in terms of just running the ball. Yeah. He had a huge impact in terms of being able to pick up blitzes, because Kansas City ran a lot of the same blitzes we saw the week before that they ran against the Bills, and it confused the Bills and Josh Allen, but you didn't have guys picking it up. And you see Saquon did a great job in this game of picking up blitzes, enabling Jalen Hurts to throw that ball downfield. So Saquon did have an impact in the game because he showed the ability to understand who he had in protection, pass protection, but then being able to execute, you know, the block in pass protection. But I think when you look at it overall, without a doubt, you know, this Eagles defensive line just really won the Super Bowl for Philly. I mean,
yeah, 100%. I said it coming out of, I was so like you were, right? Go get an offensive lineman, go get somebody on the offensive side. Because of what I saw Caleb go through last year. Now I do think free agency plays into that. Again, I think the worst thing for the Bears that happened in that Super Bowl was watching Patrick Williams get pressured that much. Because I would argue that there's no way that Trey Smith hits free agency now. I think a deal is done. I think
that definitely has to.
I think that hurts you, right? Like, I think that because of that, you may have to focus on the offensive side of the trenches, and I'm very open to that possibility. But the defensive line to me is what continues to stand out. You look at it, Bengals versus Rams. Aaron Donald at the end of the game is the difference in Bengals winning that or Rams losing it. You look at 2 years ago, Chris Jones up the middle in the face of Brock Purdy is the biggest difference in winning or losing that Super Bowl. This year is Josh Sweat and his impact on Pat Mahomes coming off of the edge, consistently forcing Mahomes to have to run out of the pocket. Like, you continue to see those guys. And listen, realistically speaking, with the Bears, you miss those guys.
Yeah.
Going for guys that feel like good players for dudes that you know are all pro. I love Rome Odunze. I think Rome is going to be a great wide receiver, and he's going to have a heck of an impact once we get this offensive line right. I know that Jared Verse is the defensive rookie of the year and is probably going to be a perennial monster on the defensive side of the ball. You opted for Darnell Wright, who, again, put an offensive line next to him, get his teammate next to him, pay what you got to do to get Trey Smith out of Kansas City. I think he's better. Jalen Carter just won a Super Bowl because he was absolutely destroying Trey Smith all day.
Yeah.
Like, those are the parts for me where it's, you're going to have a ton of opportunity to go out and get players. The possibility, we also want to talk about Ian Cunningham, right? He's going to be interviewing for that Jacksonville job. If he does take it, you got a third round pick this year, a third round pick next year. If I get that third round pick, that's where I'm looking to fix my running game. And yeah, you may get one of the other running backs that's not the top name. That's where, and I think we don't put enough emphasis on this, J-Mac. Ryan Poles just got to evaluate better. His third round picks have been horrible. They have not lived up to it. Last year's third round pick, Karan Amagaji, how many times did you stand next to him on the sideline? You know what I mean? Like, it's that's the part where
Karan, break down this play for us.
Karan, what are you seeing out there? I don't know. I wasn't here for training camp or the summer program.
Karan, who's in the blue tent?
Me. Like, we have to put more of this onus on Ryan Poles to get these things right.
Yeah.
And he just, he hasn't. He's made the other decision consistently that has caused him some problems now 4 years into this thing. Hopefully with the new coaching staff in place, that will help him get some of the evaluation on point.
Yeah, definitely. I hope so. And I think, you know, Ben Johnson, right, the things that we've heard from guys talking about Ben Johnson, from guys who played under Ben Johnson, you've heard Amon-Ra St. Brown talk about, you know, it's just different when Ben Johnson's up in front of a room breaking down scheme and doing, you know, during an offensive installation, right? He's clear, it's detailed, it makes sense, and he knows what he wants. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. He's that head coach now. So he knows what he wants. He knows what he needs, right? In terms of when they build this offense, he knows what's the foundation and what the pillars are going to be of this offense. So that's going to dictate who Ben Johnson wants and who they need as a coaching staff. Hey, Ryan Poles, you know what? This offense doesn't work unless we have a dominant right guard, you know, that can run if we run an outside zone. If we're running power, that can pull if we need him to pull. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, that can be a stalwart in protection, but he also has shown the ability and he has the history of being available, which is a huge thing. You know, he plays hurt. You know, he's not in the tub. He's not in the blue tent. He's a guy that you can count on to be out there. Like, all of those things, when you have a coach that knows what he wants, a coach that's had success running an offense the past few years, he's going to know exactly what he wants. And I think that's huge because now that's going to help Ryan Poles make smarter and better evaluations on terms of what type of personnel they need to make this thing go.
Yeah, we'll see what ends up happening. The Bears are going to have a ton of opportunity here, and we may get to see it a little bit early. I don't know if you saw this, but Shefty has a feeling that the Bears could be playing that first Thursday night, J-Mac. Opening versus the Eagles, gaining a lot of traction
in the
Schefter. And listen, I always say this, and let the hiring cycle be a lesson to some people. Shefty don't just be talking. When y'all think Shefty, it's just something I'm thinking. Shefty don't just be tough. Shefty be
here. He know, man.
Right? You know what I mean? Like,
Shefty got seven phones. He like, you see when Shefty, whenever he's like on TV or he's doing some type of, you know, media hit, he's like this the whole time.
Guys,
like,
I got to go.
He's like, hold on. I'm texting Ryan. Posey.
Bro, you know what I mean? Like
he's on it, man.
Bro, I keep telling, I'm like, Shefty's not, when he was the only one saying that the Chicago Bears were the team that's probably in on Ben Johnson. He was like, don't forget about the Bears now. I was like, Shefty got to know something, bro. He keeps saying this, and it sounds like an opinion. So it'll be interesting to see if we are the opening night game. How'd you not? Well, they might not play Kansas City next year. I don't know who the Eagles' opponents are yet. I was going to say, how do you not redo the Super Bowl matchup? But I guess you would have to have, let's see, they got Bill. No, they do have Kansas City. I would think it's Kansas City.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, the good thing is
Super Bowl matchup back, right?
Yeah, I think you would do it. I think, you know, even the year we lost the Super Bowl, the first game the next year, we were in Indy. Remember, we played we played at Indy. And that was, I think, the year they opened up the new dome. That was the first year that dome was open. So, you know, we'll see, man. I think it's going to be a great offseason for the Bears, you know, just because, you know, this another offseason where the Bears are going to be at the forefront of the NFL just because of the moves that have been made, right? Last year we were at the forefront because we had a number one pick, and then all of a sudden Caleb Williams was in here, and now we're at the forefront now because we got Ben Johnson, we got draft capital, you know, we've got draft picks, we got everything at our disposal. So it'll be interesting to see what type of, you know, how this thing turns out and what type of roadmap Ben Johnson takes, him and Poles, to build this team up to try to get us back in the playoffs. Yeah. Because if we got to be, first of all, you know, the same thing, you got to win the NFC North. And I think right now the talent is so spread out in NFC North, a lot of great coaches. We added another great coach. So it's exciting times as always during the offseason in Chicago. But we just need an offseason to lead to a great regular season.
I was going
to
say, can we win in season, dog? We've won so many off-seasons, bro.
We win the offseason and suck during the regular season.
I got so many off-season rings, bro. You know what I mean? Like, we off-season champs consistently. I want to win in the regular season, man. That's my goal.
T-shirt. Off-season champ. I'm going to get a T-shirt.
Man. Let's hope we can get some regular season wins this year, man. Let's hope that we make some good decisions. There's going to be a lot of off-season talk here. And I know we make sure that you guys stay locked in, because I know you're going to want to hear everything that we got coming for you. We'll be back tomorrow with more Chicago Bears talk. As always, man, it's your boy, Pat the Designer. Back at it again for Jason McKee. He's always got the bear claw ready to go, man. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. Bear down. One love. Peace.
Peace.